Hi, Sam.
Hello there.
Oh, what? You can't match.
I was high energy. Like, I was high energy all day, and then you just went.
You.
You're jet lagged, aren't you?
I am. Yes, you are. I just got back from Mexico City promoting Overboard, and it was incredible. And now you're here in my house early
in
the morning.
Just to annoy you.
And,
it is a little early, isn't it?
Yes, and I haven't showered. Like, makeup is. From last night is like streaming down my face. I'm not wearing a brassiere, which is too, I shouldn't have told you that, but I'm not sure you know what a brassiere is, so it doesn't matter.
Well, you look great.
Thanks. Yeah. Oh.
I think you look very relaxed.
I thought you would say that I look annoyed, which I am.
I did want to ask you, though, first of all, congratulations on the success of Overboard.
Oh, thanks.
Great weekend.
Thanks.
I mean, it made a shitload of money for the amount of screens it was on. I think it was the number one comedy in America.
Thanks.
And I'm sure it was the number one comedy in Mexico. I don't know if it was released in Mexico at the same time.
No.
Were they releasing it later?
No.
It's coming out in a couple of days, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But no, I'm really proud of it. And thanks, Sam.
I'm very proud of you, and you were amazing in it. And dear listeners, please, please, please go out and see Overboard, because it truly is fantastic, and Anna is amazing, and Eugenio also. He's a delight.
I am really proud of the movie.
Did he annoy you during the tour at all?
He's amazing. He's so, like, people just love him, and I'm just really honored to get to work with him. It was amazing in Mexico City, because I know how much people love him here, but it was amazing to see, like, you know, so many fans come out. And it was the first time that I went onto a red carpet, because, you know, you go onto the red carpet and there's the photographers and they're screaming your name, which is dizzying and flattering and overwhelming. But they're always shouting, Anna, Anna. For the first time in my life, the photographers were like, Anna, Anna. And I was so shocked that I bet there's like a ton of photos with me like almost like getting teary.
How did that make you feel?
It was surprising. It made me feel really familiar.
Doesn't happen as often in the States?
No. Because in Spanish, my name would naturally be pronounced Anna.
Gotcha.
So it wasn't like, it was a gift to me.
I see what you're saying.
But
so they're probably thinking Anna in their heads, but they're saying Anna.
Yes. But
I
to
understand.
Me, it felt like, oh, I'm
yes,
home.
You're home. Perfect. Let's get to feedback real quick, Anna. So this is from Brittany, and Brittany wrote in to talk about the caller who doesn't know how to get her husband to become more active. She doesn't know what to say about his unhealthy lifestyle and how to communicate with him. So this is Lauren, and Lauren said, OMG, I'm listening to the podcast with Dax Shepard right now, and I'm literally screaming at my phone. I know this woman. She's me 2 years ago. I've been with my husband 11 years, married 5 times, and trust me, the annoyances grew like mold on cheese.
Huh.
Based on my personal experience, this is a true lesson in patience. The way I handled it and essentially grew out of my husband's annoyances and lack of taking care of himself was to make those needed changes his idea. She may have to get crafty, and I get it sounds like manipulation, but that's the ugly truth. Oh, and one of his worst ones is not shutting drawers or cabinets. I think Dax mentioned it about Kristen Bell not
oh, that's right.
Oh, you're even right. Yeah, which I found hilarious about Dax said that about Kristen Bell, because I've never heard of anyone else doing this. By the way, Amy does this as well. Amy pointed that out to me too, and I didn't want to bring it up then, but she does it all the time as well. I guess it's a thing. Do you do it?
No, but usually people open things for me anyway, so then they close them.
She goes on to say, I feel you, man. I've painted my cabinetry with enough colorful words to make a sailor blush. So with that, for instance, I began to kind of playfully, sassy, and ask him, oh, are you done with this drawer? To which he responds like a pro smartass, smiles and shuts it. It has seriously lowered the amount of times I've had to go behind him and shut things. As far as getting him to eat right and exercise, it took him being diagnosed with hypothyroid, gaining a bunch of weight, and getting depressed over it. He hit that age where the beer gut showed up and reality slapped his sexy face. Like, I like the way she writes.
Yes, I know. She's just funny.
I totally get it. I struggled with my weight for 6 years before I became a runner, and it caused me a lot of depression and loss of self-confidence. I got him to run a half marathon with me and another couple for fun, and he loved it so much he kept up with it afterwards and even runs more than I do now. In her case, I agree with going at the angle of concern for her loneliness if something were to happen to him, and that they need to take care of each other for each other. The idea of getting out to enjoy the warmer weather will work maybe a couple of times, but if he's so into Netflix, maybe make him watch The Magic Pill and go keto. We did and have never been happier. I don't know what the magic pill is. I don't either,
but that's really good advice.
Lastly, my husband has always been a big gamer too. It really upset me for years that he would come straight home and get to his game while I did all the chores or just get completely ignored. I feel like that's a theme. We had a kid and nothing changed, and our sex life went out the window, not because of the kid, but because I wasn't feeling appreciated and loved, and I needed to be shown love. So one day I broke down and explained how his lack of helping me with things made me feel and that I needed his attention in these ways. People love feeling needed. So when I told him I needed this of him, he understood. This conversation had to happen a couple of times over 2 years for it to stick. Trust me, I was to the point of leaving him 2 years ago when he messed up and lost my trust. Suddenly, things that annoyed me were amplified. Now I come home, he's doing dishes, helped with our kids' homework, and some nights even has dinner going. I couldn't be happier. Maturity, I think, has a lot to do with things, but again, patience and communicating your feelings, not your thoughts, is key. What helped me through learning this patience was my gut. It never wanted me to leave him, and my gut is never wrong, so I didn't. And I'm proud of myself for that. Thank you so much for an amazing podcast. You keep my brain functioning while I listen to my little cubicle at work. I love you. Keep up the good work, and fuck you, Sim. XO Brittany.
Thank you so much. That was amazing. We've been loving the feedback. It's it feels like we're building this community of people like experiencing similar problems, and we don't know what we're talking about all the time at all. So it's really nice. Please keep it coming.
Anna, do you remember the other call with Allie? She was talking about her ex-husband.
Her ex-boyfriend, I believe. Yeah, and it was really tough because she still had a lot of feelings for him, and he had an addiction to cocaine,
right?
I believe, but he had been sober for, I think, 5 or 6 months. You know, she didn't know if she should get back together with him. You know, he really wanted to get back together with her.
Dax gave some incredible advice.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, because Dax...
Yes,
recovering.
He's very open about that, and it was really personal.
Well, she wrote to us. She wrote back to us.
Oh, great!
Because we recorded the Dax episode a little while ago, so there is an update already. So Allie wrote to us, and she wrote, "Hi Anna and Sim, I just wanted to let you know how things are going since we talked on the podcast, especially since it aired today. My ex and I did a lot of talking since then, and set boundaries, and we are now back together. I've visited him a few times, and can tell he's taking positive steps and is keeping sober." We really do fit wonderfully together, and the advice on your podcast with Dax is just what I needed. I've joined some Al-Anon groups online, and it's been really helpful. I know that Dax really expressed how Al-Anon really, really just changed everything. But she goes on to say, now that the sobriety is clear and I have an understanding, we're very committed to making this thing work and may even get married after a while.
Oh,
our family and friends are on board now with our relationship, and I even let him listen to the podcast with me tonight, and he was just so amazed. So thank you so much.
Wow, that's amazing.
You guys made a positive impact more than you know, and you're completely qualified. Love, Allie.
Oh, Allie, thanks so much. That makes me so happy, and you're an amazing person.
I just got chills. I mean, I hope that you understand. Like that makes me feel amazing, the fact that The three of us were able to help.
Well, and I don't know if I helped much, but
I don't know if I helped much either.
But Allie, I bet your love and support is also really helpful for him and good for you. And I'm really happy for you. It sounds like you're really happy.
All right. Well, let's get to the show, Anna. Bella Thorne, I know you fell in love with Bella.
Bella Thorne.
You fell in love with her, didn't you?
I totally did.
I fell in love with her too. She's amazing. So here we go. Here's Bella Thorne.
How much garlic are we talking?
A little bit of garlic. You wouldn't want to be doing that makeout scene that we're supposed to do later, Bella.
I think I would.
Bella Thorne. hey, dear listeners, Bella Thorne is here today in my dressing room, and it's awesome to have you.
It's so colorful. What a crazy dressing room you have. I mean, honestly, it is just like... It's like the rainbow up in here. Yeah.
This is when you feel like you don't have job security, so you don't like hang up anything in your dressing room. And I did get the massage chair though that Cassie's in.
Is worth it.
When the show is over, I have no idea
what you're gonna
how
do with
to
it?
Get that
home
removed or
I'll take it.
Well, if you can literally take it, great.
Are you giving this to me? Because I will.
Yes.
I love it.
The massage chair
is
yours.
Gift. Promise me this is your first gift to me ever in the 18 years we've known each other.
Is that really
yes,
true?
Probably.
What about the gift of this podcast?
That's true. That's what we don't ask for much.
The gift of my presence. Yes. No, seriously, you could. That's
I can
it's
have
yours.
It?
Yes, thank but you so you have to figure out how to get it out.
Okay, I got it.
You guys, are
I have some people.
All right, I'm telling you, right. They
Michael
had to
Sherman,
assemble it up
right.
here.
Right
why
don't,
why
no,
why can't you take it back? This
hey.
Is my lovely sister, Danny.
Hey, Danny, what's
yeah.
up?
Yeah, Danny.
Danny, would you like something? Would you? We have burritos. We have beverages. We've got a dog. We've got.
Wait, whose dog? Can we talk about this dog here? This dog is the best.
Thank you. She. I don't know why I'm saying thank you, but I'm saying thank you for
it's
her.
It's not yours.
I think. It is mine.
Oh.
Yes. Uh huh. Yeah. Her name is Tampon.
Did you have
Tampon? Tampon.
Did you,
I love it.
Did you have to get a like a special permission thing to bring
the dogs on the lawn?
Yeah.
Well, she's a service dog.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
So it's
like, hey, Peter Roth, you got a new Tampon first. Like,
I have the written form and everything, like all the paperwork.
Oh, so you
I
can.
I just sent that through.
I actually thought that you like were going to get kicked off the lot, or I don't know.
No, they are really strict. It's honestly a little bit insane. But when I go in my dressing room to cry, Tampon is there, and she literally does me a service by cheering me up and making me actually feel better.
Do you cry a lot?
Oh, I'm a big crier.
You are?
My emotion like piano keys.
Like how I've like twice a week, three times every day. Like,
it depends.
Okay.
Depends on what you're putting me through.
Okay. What makes you cry?
A lot of things. Honestly, like even just having deep talks with people, like we're usually in our group, we just like sit around, we'll smoke, and we just have deep talks. We have weird things playing on the TV and all these different YouTube videos of like worldly weird shit just like going on. And like somebody will say something, we'll be getting into a talk, and like there I am just getting really choked up, and I'm like living in this talk. It's like literally I'm super, it's very I can cry. It's that's just when I do it without the TV.
But what about like when you're in a scene? Is that hard for you to access?
No, it's actually, that is like one of the things I would actually say I'm best at when it comes to acting is crying. Dialogue is obviously like it's its own animal to conquer, but crying is I've been doing it ever since I was little. Like, literally, ever since I was little, they were like, oh, Bella, she'll cry. Get her in here. Like, they knew me like that when I was younger, before I was on Shake It Up.
Because it's really hard for me. In general, I don't cry. I mean, wouldn't you say, I don't know if you've...
I've never seen you cry without that stick, the menthol stick.
Totally. Yeah.
Put her all up on a silver platter. I mean, honestly.
No, I totally, like, especially with mom, like, because occasionally we'll have to do, like, for a multicam, every once in a while we do, like, some more dramatic things and I'll be crying or whatever. And I totally have to use that stick. And I actually I weirdly like it. I like the way it feels, which is kind of fucked up. But yeah, no, it's hard for me to.
You're also
to do that.
Doing it in comedic timing. Obviously,
yeah.
Crying is much more difficult when you're having to follow by the beats and the time that you're running, and you're doing a four camera, you know, and what do you do, live audience sometimes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, that's just so much more going into it than when you're an actor, a director, your scene partner is there, and they have a camera close up on you, and you have all the time in the world. Not all the time, because people are spending money by minutes that you're there, but you have like a good amount of time to get there and let it take you there. Because in acting, obviously, when you're doing more drama stuff, it's not like you just cry, and there's reasons, there's a buildup, there's like this whole space of emotions that happen right before the tears come, and you got to get there every single time to get those tears.
I had a friend who was auditioning. There were two scenes. She was auditioning for, I can't remember what the character was, but there were two scenes. There was the first scene was like a sexy scene where she was supposed to be seducing somebody. And the second scene was an emotional scene where she's supposed to be sobbing. And so she put the menthol stick like a little bit on her, between her forefinger and her thumb. And so she does the seduction scene or whatever. And they're like, okay, let's move on to the next scene. And so she's like, okay, can I just have a second? She puts like her, you know, her fingers up to her eyes with the menthol, you know, and she's like looking all serious or whatever. And like, she's really getting into it. And she starts to tear up. And then they said, you know what, actually, let's go back and do the seduction scene again.
I'm just going to be like, but I'm already in it. You can't stop this process of an actor, guys. I'm in it. I'm literally about to cry. Roll the cameras. Let's do this scene. Please.
I was like, did you get the part? Like, no.
Also, it's so interesting for like two scenes to pick for someone. You're like, seduction? Okay.
Yeah.
Tears.
Yeah.
Let's see if she can do both.
That is like, sadly, the chore of the female actor.
Can you seduce and can you cry? Anything in between? No, we don't want it. Get out of here.
Hey, so what's the favorite character that you've played?
The movie that I'm promoting right now that just came out, it's called Midnight Sun, and that director, we actually did another movie that's a very different movie, and it's called I Still See You. It was Break My Heart 1,000 times, but they changed the name. Who knows if they'll go back? So just look for it anyway, guys. And that character is just, her name is Ronnie, and there's so many similarities with her that I feel like she lives inside of me.
Like, and how do you mean? Like, what's the character like?
It's a thriller. It's a twist on like a ghost story. And in the film, she loses her dad, and it was weird because my character is born the day before my dad was, like right at leap year. And it's a huge story arc in the film. It's based around her birthday.
Oh,
yeah. And her dad's like her missing her dad. And this cold stone person that she's become. She's so angry because every day she has to see her dad. Even though he's dead, he appears there. And there's these things called REMs. And they look like you would think that they're real. They're right next to you. And then you try and touch them and they just dissipate in thin air. And so every morning she has to have breakfast with her father. And it's just like this. And then the thriller part comes in of her trying to figure out why someone's coming after her. All these weird instances happen one after another. And it's kind of like a fight for her life, but also a fight to move on with her life and get past her losing her father. And actually the day that we filmed the scene that I say goodbye to my dad in the film was the day that our dad died. April 15th was on the day we shot this, these scenes. And I was like, man, these scenes on this day, man, like,
so why do you cry again? How do you tap into that?
Yeah, that was a little bit easier.
I'm so sorry. Because sometimes projects can be sort of healing. Like I've always been a pretty nice person, but playing Shelley in The House Bunny, I really felt like I became
movie.
Thank you.
I mean, I love like every movie I've been in, but
thanks.
I love that movie.
Yeah, I just play a ding dong all the time.
Yeah, but you're not just a ding dong. You're like,
I'm a kind ding dong.
No, but you're smart. It's like even when you're being a little bit of a ding dong, it's clear that you're still smart.
Thanks. But isn't ding dong fun to say?
Yeah, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong.
We've embraced it lately.
Yeah. You also added the Yahoo. You Yahoo ding dong?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're a fucking Yahoo sometimes, Sim.
Thanks.
As I was just bragging about how I became a nicer person,
you went right back to abusing me.
I abused my producer, my dear
right
friend.
Right back.
Hey, Bella, where did you grow up?
Miami.
And when did you move here?
We moved out, my family and I moved out when I was 9. Yeah, we've been here for a minute.
What are the things that you like? Two things that you like and two things you don't like about LA?
I really like LA. I know a lot of people are like, LA. Well, fuck you, then move. Get over it. Stop complaining and move and make yourself a happier person if that's what you think it's going to make you. Okay. Get out of LA if you really want to. You're going to sit around and complain about it on your couch all day. Anyway, I like LA. People is a little bit of a different story. You never know what breed of person you're going to get here, whether they're going to be the fake nice or the nice nice or the person that's from Alabama that's just here that's like, hell yeah, I'm down to be friends with everybody. And you're like, I love you guy. It's like, you really never know who you're going to meet, but I like the weather and I like it because it's really what I know. I've kind of, you know, even though I know Miami as well, more of my core memories, I think, are in LA, and we've traveled a little bit, but I like LA. I love sticking my head out the window and it's like fresh and sunny. I don't drive, so it's easy for me to stick my head out the window when someone drives.
Yeah. You in tampon.
Yeah.
Taking on the world.
Exactly. It's actually who fights for the window seat, because tampon, she wants the window as well, you know, as you know. But I want to stick my head out the window. But I can't make sure that she's safe while I stick my head out the window. So I guess that's what they say about when you have kids, you just gotta give up your life, you know?
I really want to see that visual. I hope someday I see you and Tampon in the passenger seat of like a Mazda Miata.
Yeah, it's a pretty good visual.
Your sister's driving. You're like going to the beach. And I'll be like, you guys, wait for me.
No, you'll be in the trunk. We stole you.
I love it. Just need a little air in here, guys.
Can I get a breeze? Do you guys ever do this really late at night when you're just absolutely exhausted?
Yeah, we used to. We used to do it.
Yeah, we used to, like from 7 to 9.
Because you guys must talk some crazy shit.
Yeah, and then we would like all sit by the fire, and the nights would go late because you're forming this bond with somebody when when you're doing this, and so it, because it podcast it there's a different level of intimacy, so you really kind of get to know somebody that is interesting and
like I'm getting to know you right now.
Yes. Oh yeah. Ooh. Not only can she cry, she can breathe.
But yeah, no, I totally get this. It's awesome because there's no camera in here, and it's just like,
I know. Isn't that great?
It's awesome.
I know.
This is what podcasts really.
Yeah.
Should be like, this is why you make a podcast, because it's awesome. From the moment you start, it's just dope. Like, I'm serious. I'm feeling great right now.
I fucking love it. But it's true. Well, because it's a more intimate format, and we try to create like a safe space and not ask too many, you know, like
super personal, uncomfortable questions.
I do like to, but I always want to make sure that people are comfortable and leave feeling good and happy and that they like me, because I always want to be liked because I'm an actor, I guess.
Because you're a human being.
I guess so.
Well, this isn't your typical like press tour in the sense that, you know, you can...
In the sense that we never talk about it.
Well, we're not
projects.
Well, that's true too. We don't mention, we mention at the end usually. But we try to make our guests comfortable. Wait, why are you laughing?
I just thought that was a funny thing I said.
Well, we have no... There are no gotcha questions. Is what I'm saying. There's like, we're not going to try and trap anyone. We're not just going to. We want to hang out, hopefully. And if they want to hang out with us, great. It'll be for a better podcast.
It's always like you're definitely, I feel like, going to get more out of someone when it feels like you're not trying to bait them into saying something they're not comfortable with, or they didn't want out there at that time.
Exactly.
So speaking of that, though, we don't have to go into your personal dating life, but this will be the imaginary dating life, unless you want to, which I love to do that kind of shit. But we're gonna imagine, if you're okay with it, that you're single.
Oh boy,
this is the deal breakers round.
Oh, deal breakers. I'm ready to break some deals, let me tell you.
Okay. He owns a tiger.
Where?
Well, he keeps it in the guest house.
Encaging an animal. Don't like it.
Well, it's a roomy guest house.
we have lots of cats, and people are like, oh, you have indoor, outdoor cats? Like, you know, what if this and this? And it's like, unfortunately, when those days come, you have to deal with it. But it's just not worth the life of encaging an animal, like making them feel like this is on their life. You know, it's not really fair that we get to literally go anywhere we want at any time in the day, go fly across the country if we fucking want to. And then you've got your poor little cat who just only knows four walls. Like, its whole life. That's so sad.
But you seem to be fine with encaging me in your trunk of your Mazda beer.
Yeah, but that's way cooler.
Hypocrite.
I'm going to post an Instagram like, guess who I got in the trunk?
And I got to tell you, Bella, I'm so ready to like trap you in my attic.
Ooh, I like attics. I can go through all your old things. God, I'm sure you have so many memories in there I can just dig through.
No. Dear diary, Bella Thorne is snooping through my things. Seemed like a good idea to put her in the attic. But not anymore. Going to have to bludgeon her. Didn't want to immediately.
Bludgeon, nice.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's my preferred method. We used to talk about murder all the time. We don't so much anymore.
You've become much kinder.
Yes. What would your preferred method be of murder?
It depends on, you know, what the person did that you think in your right of mind deserves murder. You know, there's kind of a scale of like murder. I did one of the Amityville Horror films, and I got to brutally bludgeon this dog to death.
Oh.
No, it was quite fun. It wasn't real. It wasn't alive. It was actually horrifying. Yes. Because it was a taxidermied coyote, and they had his whole insides obviously carved out so that they could put their hand in it to attack me with it, because it's attacking me in the film. And I couldn't get off the floor. Like, after I stabbed that thing to death, they also had it drip saliva onto my face, like, slowly. And that's, like, also part of the scene that our director, Frank Calhoun, thought was definitely necessary for the saliva dripping on my face. And, you know, after that brutal attack, I couldn't get off that floor for, like, I don't know, 15 minutes?
Oh.
Like, realistically, I'm just like this, and they're like, we're moving on. And I'm literally just, I could not even move at all. I was so, it was such an experience. But you know, the stabbing part, I feel like just a good old knife. Let's go old school Shining style, or an axe.
Oh,
axe is fun because you're just like, that's, oh, look at me, I got an axe, I look badass.
I talk about this on the podcast a lot, but I have this reoccurring dream of, and I don't even know who my nemesis is, but I'm in a public bathroom and there's somebody that like I'm very angry at.
I like the setting already. I love public bathrooms.
Who doesn't?
They're so dirty.
And I take the lid off the porcelain, like the basin. You
with
know?
Your hands or with your sleeve?
With my hands.
Oh, wow.
And I just whack somebody in the head as hard as I can. It's an odd, I guess that's how. Because I'm not a very angry.
Did you say this was a dream?
It's a reoccurring dream, yeah.
Reoccurring?
Yeah. I haven't had it for a while. I don't know what that means. But maybe I'll have it tonight.
Aren't reoccurring dreams so odd? Because you're just like, fuck you, psyche. Are you trying to tell me something? What are you trying to tell me? What does my human body need right now that this keeps coming up over and over and over? And I've never heard anyone ever say, I have this reoccurring dream. Let me tell you, I am bouncing in a bed of rainbows and candy. It is so much fun. I keep having this dream. I never hear that, ever. It is always really violent. Like, my reoccurring dream, when I was younger, we moved around a lot in life. And in one of the houses, I would sleep in my mother's room with my dad, and I'd sleep on the floor, and I almost every night, and for a long time after that, and then it just stopped. I had this dream that that house was bleeding from head to toe, just like bleeding. And I was really little, like 7.
Oh.
And it kept happening for such a long time in my life. And now it has stopped. And I'm just like, what were you trying to tell me?
Well, listen, let's incorporate maybe two ideas. The bleeding house. And also, for some reason, I thought you were going to, I don't know why, I had this premonition that you were going to launch into the idea of you being zipped up in a sleeping bag that, like, with the zipper going all the way around. So it's sort of like a coffin sleeping bag.
I feel like that's yours, not mine.
Hey, not mine. I'm just, you know, the creator of ideas.
And that is also really creepy, being stuck in a zipper bag.
Yeah, I would, I don't know if it would be my choice of bedding.
You know what would be also another fucked movie is someone that, like, something happens in their body that they're not dead, but you know when the body reacts like it is dead and people are kind of confused, like it shows like those signs of being dead but it's not. I don't know the term, don't ask me. Okay, I've only seen it in movies, so therefore it's real. And like if that person was tricked and they thought that person was dead, and then they're zipping him up in that body bag and he is just like inside, cannot move, and he's just like, I'm alive.
Fuck Bella, you guys. What the fuck are you doing to me?
Okay. But you think haunting dreams.
All right. On the first date, he Instagrams a picture of every food course.
Does he Instagram story or does he Instagram grid?
Why is it?
It's so important.
What's the difference?
It's such a difference. Gosh. Because it's like the grid is like, everyone, look at me. This shit is up here to show for time being. Okay. This is going to last pretty much forever until I decide to take it off my grid, which in difference of having a story up is like, oh, no big. Let me just snap a couple stories real quick. Put this up. Nobody's really going to view this, but I know everyone views stories more than grid posts anyway. So yeah. So it really depends.
But doesn't it signify a different level of commitment? It's like I can commit to the food, like this being on my grid for all of time.
I mean, I like commitment. If you're like, bro, let me put up every food sample of yours ever. That is my commitment to the grid. Also, are you a lover of food? Do you appreciate the way a meal is made? When you look at it, you're like, this is appetizing. This is beautiful. This is a work of art, just as we do every day. And so it almost deserves a photo.
Paella.
What?
Paella.
What's paella?
It's like a Spanish rice.
It's a Spanish rice risotto-y thing. He loves it.
I'm half Latin. I think I can't say that I paella. Won't eat that. Three courses. Oh, that's, I mean, that's
pretty.
You have
to try the shellfish paella and then the chicken paella.
Wait, can I also get the cheeseburger?
Paella.
Rabbit? No, that's like, if somebody wants to eat rabbit on a first date, I'm just like, you just too adventurous for me.
Adventurous for you? You feel like the most adventurous person I've ever met in my life.
Because like eating a rabbit isn't good adventures. That's like bad adventuring.
How do you
it's
know?
It's like, don't eat a rabbit.
Listen. Because they're cute, right? And they have them as pets. You can't, is that why?
Just don't eat a rabbit. Just don't do it.
Okay. All right. So is that a deal breaker? Do we decide that this dude, if it's a story, but still, do you want to be at dinner with something? This is just me being old.
That's like on their phone all the time. Yeah. Taking a photo of everything.
I don't know.
It's hard for me to judge because I can completely see the point of view of like, yo, this food looks bomb. I want to take a pic of it. And especially if you're dating someone that is the same age as you and you're like, you know, it's just a different generation. This generation's like, let me take a photo of literally everything or it didn't happen. And I swear to God, if I don't have a photo of it, you guys are all murdered.
What?
God, is this generation.
What if he sort of like surreptitiously kind of is snapping photos of you?
Oh, no, that's it's different. It's like, you know, let me take a cute photo of you looking ridiculous eating paella. Then you're like, oh, okay. But then if he's like, let me take a ridiculous photo of you eating paella and post it all over every social media channel I have, then you're like, oh, really? First date? I mean, but honestly, at that point, it's like, you might as well post a photo of me, because if you're going out with me, fucking somebody knows about it. And then if someone knows about it, the whole world knows about it, because paparazzi are literally everywhere. And there's no way somebody didn't get a photo of that damn date anyway. So I'm just like, you know what? Post whatever you want. Fuck it at this point. Everyone knows. You know what? I wasn't even dating you, and everyone thinks we're dating.
I'm cruising down fucking Sunset. Okay. During sex, he accidentally calls you by his mom's name.
We just watched this movie, okay, where the girl yells out her brother's name, but it's because, like, she, the last time she saw her brother, he was in a car accident and he was driving them both, and they were talking about this guy, and, like, she calls out his name in, like, the sense of, like a form of PTSD and shock syndrome. And so, like, that, you know, under what circumstances did he call out his mother's name? But also,
Anna was not expecting this question right back.
Well,
you know, it's like, did he call out his mother's name? And you're like, oh, yeah. You know, or is it like, oh, no, we're not.
His
down.
Mother's name is Chellahorn.
Chellahorn. Chellahorn. Chellahorn. Chellahorn.
So
hard to
very,
say.
It's very confusing when he's with you.
Chellahorn.
Because, you know, the rhyming, it's like, oh, like, he doesn't, it's like, oh, Chellahorn, and you're like, it's Bella Thorne. I'm fucking...
Do most men yell at the first and the last name during sex?
When you're really good. There was only one time that something similar has happened to me, and it was just awkward. I was hooking up. Well, not hooking up. We were making out, okay? And then he said my sister's name, Danny, who's right there. And it was like the most...
Danny!
Who the fuck? I'm going to tell you after.
Okay.
Because he felt really bad about it.
And wait, you never told, like, your sister?
I thought...
Is this new information to Danny?
You didn't know about this?
Well, she might have told me, but I definitely don't remember.
It was way back when.
It
was like a little bit ago. And it was an awkward scenario. And I looked at him and he looked at me and I was like... And he was like... just could not say anything. And I was like... I don't even need to be like, what the fuck? You just said my sister's name. Because it's like, it's that awkward. You know, we're both thinking like, oh, where do we go
Let's
from
pretend
here now?
Like we didn't hear that.
Yeah, like are we going to? Or like, or is it just too obvious that if we pretend that we don't hear it, then it's like, you guys are fucked up. There's something wrong with you guys.
Those are really funny. We should start cataloging funny moments in life where like the party members involved both don't acknowledge the really awkward thing that happened.
Yeah.
Okay, we got that, right, Cass?
I like that idea.
I feel like I've had many of those moments.
Okay, he is a furry and likes dressing up as a Care Bear to have sex.
He is a furry? Does that mean he has a lot of hair?
No, I think it's a classification of...
It's people who like to dress up as like animals in like big fuzzy costumes and like...
We saw
parties.
This yeah. on that thing that yeah. one time!
It's in a movie.
Oh, yeah. In the movie, they're at a bonfire and everyone was dressed up as crazy animals and it looked like fun. They were all dancing around the bonfire, okay? And then, you know, people started to hook up. And it was like, is it weird that they're in animal costume? Or was it like they were just in animal costumes? And then they were like, oh, let's get dirty tonight. You know, but is it like a reoccurrence? Is it like every time or almost every time?
No, it's
I wanna
like bi-monthly.
Fuck you with the Care Bears. I don't know. I like some weirder things. I feel like it's really odd. You never want to say to someone like, I don't like your sexual preference, because it's like everyone's into some weird shit. Why are you going to be the person to be like, what you're into is actually weird? Okay, the weird things that I'm into are like kind of weird, but your shit is like really weird is like,
I know, it's true. It's like
judgmental.
Shutting down.
Yeah,
like,
it's like it's a little unfair to do
and
that.
And I've got some nasty thoughts up in this noggin. I can't look at Sim while I say that.
I, you want to leave the room?
You become like such a brother.
I know. It's weird. It's weird. Like, yeah, I know.
Anyway.
It's okay.
What would you prefer? Sex on the beach or sex in a hot tub?
Oh, those are both kind of shit options.
I know.
It's like, look.
Things that sound better than they are.
Yeah, exactly. Because I know a lot of, I don't know, guys that don't realize this as much, but like sex in a hot tub doesn't feel great. Also, super open to different diseases and like lots of different bacteria. Let me tell you, that water is disgusting and you are plushing that right up in there. Plush, plush, plush. Keep plushing. And it's like, whew, that is scary. You know, how can you even get turned on when you're thinking of like this bacteria in my vagina right now? What's it doing to me in there? It's scary. And on the beach, sand all up in there, keeps scratching at everything. You're like, is that you or is that the fucking sand? I don't know.
I guess the Miata is the only option then.
I don't know why I keep going back to the Miata.
You might be too young for the Miata.
They don't even make the Miata anymore. Mazda made a really tiny car back in the day. It was
a convertible. And yeah. Where I grew up, it was like
the shit.
There was like one kid who had a Mazda Miata, and it was like, oh my god, he has a Mazda Miata. Cassie's gonna show it to you.
Oh, that's a cute car.
It's a cute car.
Oh, I would like a Mazda Miata. This is cute. Oh, vintage? Nice. The vintage one
let's see.
Pretty sick. Yeah. We were thinking of getting a hippie bus and just like hippieing the bus out or doing punch buggy because I have to learn how to drive sooner or later. So,
do you really need to, though? I mean, I think the self-driving thing, I mean, despite the bad press, I think it's, you know.
Despite the bad press.
The train has left the station. Right? What the fuck am I talking about? I love talking to you. No, but truly, like,
I need to, in any sense that someone's hurt, and then you're like, great, I'm the only one here. You are hurt, and I can't drive to the hospital. So now I need to go call the Oops. Wait 5 to 10 minutes for the Oops to pick us up. Then I got to get you in the car. Then to the
service called 911.
Are you going to wait for 911 to get there?
Am I
going to
wait for Oops?
Or if you drive, you go straight to the hospital. And then you got to have the ambulance, and it's an extra charge. Is like, hurt, is this even serious?
At my place. It's gonna be late at night, and I probably won't be sort of, you know, qualified to take anybody to the hospital. I take a lot of melatonin.
Ew, no wonder why you have this reoccurring dream. It's so vivid.
So my wife is pregnant. When she's ready to deliver, should I call an Uber or should I drive there? Because I'm worried that if I drive there...
And you're just so, like, I'm anxiety-ridden.
Right. But I'd rather, or should I be in the back so I'm, you know, consoling her? Or not? I don't even know what to do if that happens.
I think you got to drive her.
No,
you have to drive her
because Uber will take 5 minutes or three to five minutes where I live.
Maybe it would be a good podcasting story if Amy would be like, "Okay, yeah, you can record me on our way to the hospital," and the Uber driver will be amused and delighted that he gets to drive a woman who's in labor. And what
it's a lot of pressure, right? It's a lot of pressure.
Yes, you can't.
I'll have to go high-end Uber premium.
I do understand though your concern. I mean, like the amount of people that might get into an accident because they're so high in anxiety, because they're so scared, and it's like such a rush of the moment. And you're like, you know, you just can't imagine your wife literally at her worst screaming at you, being like, "Fucking suck a dick, give me."
Yes.
You know, your wife's like, she might throw some really angry things in your way, and you might be like, "Oh, oh my god, this is too much for me to drive with this kind of pressure and anxiety."
Yes, thank you, Bella. I think that's I'm gonna go with that.
He is a sexual alchemist.
What does that mean?
Well, we had to look this up too. Cassie came up with it, and we had to look it up. He has sex, but he refuses to achieve orgasm. And why? What's the philosophy behind it? Like a spiritual sort of self-control, like...
No.
Yeah.
Not releasing the...
He doesn't mind if you do.
Well, I'm probably not going to if he's not going to.
It would be like a turnoff.
Well, yeah, it would also just be like, this is an equal partnership we're putting in here. You know, if one person is orgasming and the other one's not, then you're just like, well, I feel like shit. Like, why would I want that? You know, why would you want your partner not to orgasm and then you too? Then you feel even worse. You're like, oh God, I feel like a shit partner now. I couldn't even like, you know, make this happen for them, and listen, they made it happen for me.
I'm not into this guy either. I don't want to like argue this guy on sounds his behalf. Terrible. No, he's kind of a dick. He's pretty pretentious.
And he calls himself a sexual alchemist. So right there.
Yeah, that's on his Tinder. Loves paella. Yeah.
I just love saying paella. God. Okay, you catch him stealing a pair of your underwear.
Keeper.
Nice.
Yeah. You're really? Like, oh, you want, or do you want one of the dirty ones?
Yeah, he totally does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he totally does. Uh-huh.
I got a little glimmer in my eye right there. I don't know if you picked up on that, Bella.
I feel like now's the time for the wink.
Where do you live again? Okay. On the third date, you go to his house and he tells you that his roommate is a ghost.
You got me. Bro, your roommate's a ghost. Are we going to stake this out all night? We're going to stay up. We're going to see this ghost tonight. Like, I'm staying over because roommate is a ghost.
But here's the thing. I think you're really cool. But Brian doesn't really like respond always to female energy. So it's not going to always like, you know, Brian, like, it's so fucked up. Like every flag day on every, like, I don't know, I want to say like Veterans Day, like, he'll like fucking come out and we'll chill. And he's still like, he loves to like play Minecraft and shit like that. Like I'll come home and Minecraft will be on.
He'll be rolling up.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, I don't see him because he's a fucking ghost. And our ocular bulbs that we have in front of our, you know, our fucking gray matter can't process, like, visually ghosts. So.
But you could see, like, the blunt being rolled up, like, in midair. You're like, oh, bro, I'm glad you got it started. Good
nah,
for me.
Nah,
he's only playing Minecraft.
I did always think, like, I was always intrigued. We've talked about this before on the podcast by, like, ghosty places. Like, why, like, an apartment at the Oakwoods isn't haunted?
Let me tell you, every apartment at the Oakwoods is haunted by every drop of fucking semen that has been left on all those couches.
Have you been there before?
When we came to L.A., Oakwood the ghosts of was broken like, dreams. Oakwood was like the thing. It was like, I was a little bit younger. I have two sisters, Danny, and we have another one, Kylie, and they are a little bit older than me. And let me tell you, the Oakwood, hip-hop happened in place to hang out if you're a teenager.
So let's explain to the listeners. So the Oakwoods is it's like a furnished apartment rental place right down the street here in Burbank. And what they
it's
do
massive.
Is child actors will come in for pilot season and they'll live in if they book a show so the families don't have to like actually buy a house or rent a house just to see how it goes. Is that what it is? So it's usually actors, right?
It's just a regular apartment building, but it's just known through the stage parents of passing on information to like go there. And teens do bad things there.
I stayed when I was auditioning for Scary Movie at the Oakwoods. I crashed.
Really?
Yeah, for a couple nights. Yeah, for sure. And then I stayed at another apartment. I crashed with some other friends down the street. Yeah.
Wait, what happens though at the Oakwoods? So you said semen. Tell me about the semen.
Yeah, tell us about the semen.
I mean, I've only heard stories, okay? Because I wasn't in
a hot tub.
But things get down and dirty up in the Oakwood. Also, all those kids, like Danny said, are like, the place is pretty much infested by actors. And everyone, besides the actual, like, drug intake of like smoking weed and like getting drunk with all your closest friends because you all live in the same fucking place and your parents are upstairs, so you're like hiding somewhere below, like somewhere sketchy in the middle of Oakwoods. You know, besides all that, it's like the competitiveness, you know, you got to keep in mind too of everyone in there, and everyone's auditioned for the same role today, and everyone's like, oh, you did it once, I did it twice. He asked me to do it twice. It was crazy. He even gave me direction. Do you know what that's like? Oh, you didn't get direction. Too bad. It's like the...
I got a callback.
Oh, you got a callback?
I got a callback. Don't say it like that. I totally got a callback. I always get callbacks.
Well, I'm screen testing next week.
No, you're not.
Man.
That's fucking bullshit.
Seriously, it is. It really is. The gossipy circle.
I think it'd be fun one day, a long, long time from now, Bella. Let's develop a show about a couple of moms of young actors that are staying at the Oakwoods and we just fuck everybody.
Honestly. That sounds awesome.
Pilot season.
that does sound awesome, because I actually was writing a show about stage parents. Much darker show. Very different show. That is awesome.
Darker than two parents fucking everyone at the Oakwoods?
Much darker than that. That's like the comedy, like the Oakwoods, like the comedy version of it. And I love the comedy version of it.
Listen, we have a lot of room to explore here.
The Oakwoods is ripe for a show.
There could be drama as well.
Definitely.
I guess we're done. Right. We finished the things. Oh no.
What do you want? Do you want to take a quick break and then do the calls?
Yeah.
5 minute break, pee, whatever.
Yeah.
And then, okay, let's do that.
Like, is it so loud?
Calling Sam. She's in Baltimore, and she's 25.
Hello.
Hey, Sam. It's Sim. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm going to introduce Anna right now.
Hi, Sam. Okay. How are you?
Hi, Anna. Sim, so just nice asked. To talk to you.
So nice. Thank you so much for being a part of this.
And Anna's going to introduce our special guest.
I'm here with Bella Thorne and her sister Danny. They're both amazing. We've been having a great time. Do you guys mind saying hi?
What's up?
That's Danny, and that's
hi.
The breathy Bella.
I honestly kind of want to ask you, how are you? Again, it just feels like I need to know.
I'm okay. Thanks for talking to me, everyone. Nice to meet you guys. And congratulations, Sim.
Oh my God, thank you so much. We announced that I'm having a baby.
Oh, yeah. Yay!
Clearly, I'm such a loyal listener.
So, Sam, tell us about this emotional cheating. What's going on with your boyfriend? We're going to try and help you with this.
Okay, so the situation is basically this. I have been dating my boyfriend for about a year now, and everything has been going really well. Like, this has definitely been my most serious relationship. About a few months ago, it started getting like a little rocky. Just to, like, try and summarize everything, there have just been like more than one incident of me seeing a particular girl's name come up on his phone who I didn't recognize. And the first time it happened, he reacted pretty poorly, like got super defensive, like felt like I didn't trust him, which, you know, in hindsight is kind of a red flag. Like, why are you freaking out at me looking at something if there is nothing going on? But anyway, whatever. So moved past that. And then the second time, it was like actually an incoming phone call that I kind of saw over his shoulder, and he reacted like a lot better to that one, like very understanding as to why I would be skeptical of that, but still was just sort of like telling me what was very clearly to me a lie. Like, said, you know, she's no one, they don't talk, this is just a girl that they hooked up a couple summers ago but haven't talked since then, she's friends with his friends up in New York, you know, maybe she sends him the occasional picture of like his friend doing something stupid, or like maybe his friends took her phone and called him. Just like these stories are just like so blatantly a lie. Like, I don't know what you're trying to pull, but he stuck to it. And like, no matter how hard I pressed him. So it was just sort of, I was just sort of in a situation where I was like, I don't know. I didn't want to dump him just like based on a hunch. Like, that didn't seem like the right option at the time. So I guess I just sort of accepted it and we moved on. So a couple of weeks from then, or maybe it was like a month, I had my phone stolen and he had given me his old phone, and for whatever reason, like, I didn't actually end up turning it on until like the next day when I was at work. He was already on the way to California for a work trip. And when I turned it on, he hadn't cleared anything off. And there was like a full conversation with the girl, lo and behold. I read the whole thing, and I mean, it was very obvious that like they had been in regular communication with each other. There wasn't evidence that like they had seen each other or anything like that. Like, it wasn't sexting, but like, it was still flirty and like obviously very hurtful that A, he was talking to another girl in the first place, and B, that he repeatedly blatantly lied about it to me. So I called him out immediately, and like, his reaction was as good as it could have been. He was extremely upset that this happened, not that this happened, that he did this to me. And, you know, he was freaking out about it and extremely apologetic. He was crying. I mean, he said everything like I guess I needed to hear at that time. And in the moment, I felt like he was being genuine and everything, and I moved on from it. And I guess it's just, I don't know, clearly it's still in my mind. It's been like about a month later, and everything's good and back to normal. And like, I believe he is a genuine person. Like, I know he loves me and wants to be with me, but at the same time, I can hear myself repeating the story out loud and like trying to imagine myself as if I was my friend giving me advice and thinking like, am I just being an idiot? Like, would I be like, you're being stupid, no, and red flag, you need to just end it now. So that's, I guess, where I am.
But so, okay, wait, I have a few questions. First of all, I think this has happened to just about everybody, a version of this. And I think that, okay, well, what do you...
How long have you guys been dating as well?
They think about a year, almost a year. Is that right, Sam?
Yeah, I think it's a year, right?
Hey, so, but what do you like about him?
I mean, so many things. I mean, I think we really complement each other very well. He's extremely smart and motivated. He's funny, and like, we're very silly and goofy together. But I think he's also like, he can be an emotional guy too, and he really supports me and everything. I mean,
so okay, we were talking earlier. There's two different things I want to touch on. Well, probably a lot because I talk a lot. But we were all talking earlier about the pressure that especially women, I think, face to be in a committed relationship at a younger age, and how we put my whole sort of ranting about, you know, trying to make a bad thing work, that because it's like checking something off of the list. So I think that's just one thing to keep in mind as just in general as you proceed through the aging process. But the other thing is that the first time that you drunkenly checked his Snap text or whatever it was, did you must have had an inkling that something was happening, right? Like, you must have, like, because I you know,
a thought like, I should check this,
right? Like, so something was making, something about the relationship was making you feel insecure.
That's right.
I mean,
yeah, that's true.
And it doesn't feel great to be in that position, because then you're also admitting, like, when you can, during the confrontation, you also have to admit your own guilt of snooping, which fucking sucks. At the same time, it's also like, how do you not, when you have a strong feeling that something's going on that you don't know about? And you don't want to feel humiliated or blindsided or taken advantage of. And that's completely reasonable. I think it's so smart of you to have clocked his defensiveness initially, because in my experience, that has also been a theme. You know, my high school boyfriend and then my college boyfriend would say things like, well, she tried to kiss me. Then it's like, oh, that means they fucked.
But also, you know, take in mind as well, it's like, you went through those text messages, right?
Well, no, I didn't.
I thought you said that you went through them when he gave you the phone and you read through their whole conversation and you saw that.
Oh, yes. No, that's true. I mean, once it was like fully in my possession, yeah, I read them all.
I mean, first of all, bro, how are you going to give your girlfriend your phone and think that you have something sketchy on there and you're going to leave it on there? That is like, I'm sorry. That is
I said to him, I was like, did that cross your mind when you handed it?
Seriously. But, you know, also keep in mind, if it didn't cross his mind because he left it on there, there's not that much to be overly upset about. You know, he was just texting a girl, and maybe it was bit flirty in which context.
Well, that's the thing. So how intimate were the texts? Was it like, you know, what you up to, like at the bar with hard friends, eyes. Or was it like, I miss your nipples. Yeah. I can't wait
come
to suck
sleep
on
over.
Them.
I dreamt about you last night.
Yeah, it was somewhere in between those two. It wasn't, it really wasn't that, it wasn't terrible or else like I couldn't see myself getting over it. It was like a little bit of like what you up to, but then like sometimes it would get a little worse and like talk about when they used to hang out or like, oh, like, you should come visit me. Like she would say, you should come visit me. And then he'd be like, oh yeah, when? But like, not like, you know, nothing that was like actually with actual action, but you know, enough that he was like engaging in it.
This might be a question for Sim. Sim, wait, as a guy, that's what I think.
This is so bad. I hate when I give bad. I don't like being the guy that always seems to be the guy that gives the bad news to our callers because I love them so much and I don't want to see them go through something like this. But what this guy is doing is keeping his options open.
True.
Yes.
True.
Very true. That's exactly
he's
doing.
He did admit that to me. He like when I confronted him, like, what did you get out of this? And he was like, admittedly, like it started early on when. I guess which is terrible to say to you, but like where I didn't know where this is going. And like now I'm so confident, blah, blah, blah. But
so do your friends and family like him?
Yeah, everyone really loves him. And like I told a couple of close friends about this and I think it's hard for them to reconcile too, because they all think he's not like your typical douchebag guy where it would be easy to be like dump him. Like they see him as like a nice, genuine guy.
Can I tell you, Sam, those are the guys you have to be really careful about. The only dumb move he made was giving you his old phone, but everything else is completely calculated. When you're texting someone you previously had a relationship with, you're keeping your options open. You're thinking along the lines of, if I'm going to keep her in my life and just give her the occasional text exchange, because if something happens with you, I could always go back to her and reopen that.
It's scary, but also, are you guys getting married? Do you see yourself literally having kids with
him?
Maybe
she does.
The other thing, too, you know, sometimes friends and family liking the guy, like you were saying, Sim, puts additional pressure on a relationship. Yes. But fuck, I think that you should always feel very valued. And I do think that there will always be an undercurrent of insecurity. That seed that he sort of planted in your relationship. And listen, everyone wants to feel attractive. Everyone wants to feel sexy and desired. So it's not like he's clearly not like a demon. But I also don't want you to be kind of paranoid all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's exhausting. And life is short and
you're also young and it's only been a year. And it's like, if you guys are already having this kind of thing, it doesn't mean like he's a terrible person, like you're saying, but maybe you guys are just young and you're supposed to be dating to experience these things to see if like, do I want to marry you? Do I want to spend all of eternity with you? You know, it's like, you know, maybe you're just having fun right now. Maybe on paper he seems like the perfect guy in like image, and maybe he is like actually a nice guy, but that doesn't mean that like you're supposed to be with him. Maybe it just means that you're with him right now to learn these things and to experience this together. And if you make each other better, then that's really good for now. You know, if this keeps popping up, that doesn't seem like it's going to go away.
Hey, Sam, it was two different girls that you know about. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's better or worse, but you know, these are the things that you know about, and it's just, do you think that there's anything that he could do that would completely reassure you? Is there like a grand romantic gesture?
That's a really good question.
Does
Anna.
He? Thank you, Sim.
Because I don't know what.
I don't know either. I don't know either. Does he buy you like a racing horse? A racehorse?
That won't prove his commitment.
Bella with the bad news.
Not his emotional commitment, let's say.
But truly, like, I'm just wondering if there's anything that he could do that would make you feel. Yeah, because the thing is that if you do forgive him and you decide, you make the decision to move on from this, the thing is that this is a scar, you know, and you're young to have this scar, and it's a young relationship to have this scar. And so, you know, in moments of insecurity and weakness and times of vulnerability in your relationship down the road, this will come up. And And I just don't want you to live that life. I'm sure that you do love him, and I'm sure that he loves you, but this might not be his strength, you know?
And maybe just for right now.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Maybe it's like way later on you could like run into that dude and he's like, oh yeah, I learned from those mistakes. But it's like you guys are young right now, and that's like he is keeping his options open. And
but like if you guys are having fun, like kind of as Danny said, like then whatever. Fuck everyone anybody right. ever says about this and that. Like
that's true, Bella.
If you're not like literally trying to get him to put a ring on it and you're just having just as much fun as he is, and you know, maybe you also keep your options open a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Like it a relationship is what you two decide. If you guys, let's say, want to even sleep with other people, you could do that. I mean, it is really to what your preference is. So if your preference is like, we have a friend right now, you know, and like likes a guy a lot, but is also like, I don't know. And we're like, well, you're just having fun. It's not that big of a deal if you're just having fun. And if you are, then great. But then keep in mind, maybe don't try and get too emotionally attached just in case this happens again. And then it's going to feel worse. You're going to feel worse.
It's true. We put so much pressure on ourselves because of like what our friends and family think as well, and what we're supposed to be doing, mm-hmm. and how a relationship is supposed to be defined. But jealousy is just the worst feeling in the world, and I don't want you to
constantly go through that emotion mm-hmm. every single time his phone dings. Yeah. Are you gonna think, is it some girl hitting up your guy? You know?
Yeah. So maybe this is, if you feel like you both are emotionally healthy enough to have a frank conversation about like, okay, listen, I don't want to feel paranoid about when your phone is dinging. Let's figure out sort of where we are. Do you want to explore other options and still have me in your life? If so, let's talk about that. If that's something that you can handle, Sam. If you can't, which I couldn't. I just don't think I'm emotionally built for it. I admire people that are, but I
no, definitely
I,
not.
Yeah, but I couldn't. But anyway, that
would
that
be better
would
to
be
know,
one.
Though.
Yeah,
yeah, well, yeah. No, I asked him that. We've had those conversations. This is all, you know, it's reassuring in a way.
But I'm sorry that I've been cheated on. Listen, my high school boyfriend, who I'll refer to as Chad, he slept with Rachel. Yeah. Yep. And we
see how those scars last.
I'll
you see how that scar tissue never goes away.
But don't feel too much pressure. I know, like, you're probably very driven career-wise, and it makes you want to check off, if you're anything like me, like check off the relationship part quickly. And there's a wide world out there. Mm-hmm. There's
yeah, there's
Paris.
Not an actual time limit. It's just like what family and society and all these things have put on us. Mm-hmm. Especially like you were saying, as women and at our age, I'm also 25 and I don't feel in a rush to get married. I have an idea of when I want to get married. But man, all my other friends and like what people even try to put on me, it's just like, it's actually kind of fucked up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fuck you. Yeah, like, men like have more time than we do. That's fucked.
And the thing is that I don't know if, like, even if he did completely stop all flirtation, one, I think, like we talked about earlier, that you would still feel have a sense of a bit of insecurity. But he may not ever, like, it may be something that stops for 6 months, but then he feels the need to get, you know, validation from other
about.
Women.
That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about this guy is so insecure that he's going to consistently look for that validation.
Yeah.
And he may never cheat, but it's just the whole texting just to see if he still has it.
Right.
To keep his options open in case something does happen. It's just, I don't like it at all.
There is one more important question.
What?
How many times do you orgasm with this guy? You know? That is, no, that's
Damn,
a serious,
Bella.
Important question because, like, you know, I don't know what kind of person you are, but for me, like, sex is a really big part of a relationship, in my opinion. And it's like, that is, like, if you're not it's so hard to find someone that has all the check marks and is also the best person you've ever slept with that you're like, they get my body. They like, yes, got this force around me, you know? And if he doesn't do that, oh, then girl, why are we even still talking about this? You need to get rid of him then.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you're right. Like, it is like having been, you know, really physical with somebody is incredibly important. But I also, and that's something, Sam, I don't want to put you on the spot, Sam. I mean, I do and I don't, you know what I'm saying? but I think that's definitely something to take into consideration. But I just think that, well, I think what Bella said is completely right, that it is really hard to find somebody that is a good fit. It is still worth the search. Mm-hmm. You know,
of course.
I don't want you feeling like that you're bracing yourself for a confrontation, you know, when you come home from work, in mm-hmm. case mm-hmm. something
in case
happens
and something and
I don't know. Yeah.
I'm sorry, this is hard.
I wish I could say like you should totally forgive him and it's not that big of a deal. And you know what? Truthfully, we don't know the details of the content of the text, so maybe we would all have different opinions of that as well.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, but you kind of have to judge that.
I would have the same exact opinion.
Yeah. I think even if we were her close friends, it's still nobody can tell you what to do.
Or what to feel.
And even if we say, like, yo, go dump him, and all your friends are like, go dump him, it doesn't mean that that's going to feel right to you when you wake up tomorrow. It's like, this is something you take day by day, and you got to keep your feelings into consideration, not his as the main one, because now you're in this point of, like, what do we do? So look out for yourself right now.
Sim, would it make a difference if in the text the girl was the initiator?
No, they're both complicit.
But that's complicated too, because mm-hmm. we're in a time where, like, even like, I don't know, I've always felt that I have more guy friends than girlfriends, and that's really hard when you're in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So it is complicated. Like, I don't know, I just wouldn't be like, yo, you can't talk to a girl because I talk to guys. And then it's like, you know, it's like, it's true. If they are flirting and you're replying with that flirting, because guys hit, you know, guys want to get up on this. When you reply with that, that's like, are you interested now?
I think that Sam's gut is probably right.
Yeah.
I didn't listen to my gut very, very frequently.
Well, that's why Sam wrote in, because she, you know, she's going with her gut right now. I don't know, Sam, this is really, really hard. And I know you have a lot to think about. You have many discussions ahead of you.
Well, you know what? And Sam, think about what you really like about him. If it is, you know, like you said, like his sense of humor, intelligence, and then, you know, and also, you know, think about his level of integrity and how what he gives to you.
Mm-hmm. And what you're going to miss if you decide to, you know what? Before you go to sleep tonight, Danny and I, we love to do lists and writing things down. We want you to handwrite a list of really all the positive and negatives, and not only just the he's smart and he's funny. No, I want you to get detailed, and I want you to say everything.
He gave
that
me
like
that dryer sheet that he wrote on.
The way he looks at me when he touches my hair. It's like those things you got to really weigh out in yourself, because like the worst part is like breaking up with someone and then being like, oh, should I have done that? Now I'm so sad, and I kind of just wish they're
here. And it's another scar.
And yeah, now it's another scar.
But if he loves her, he will take her back in a heartbeat.
Of course, now you have to keep in mind what he feels. Yeah. He feels also betrayed that she broke up with him. So now he also has a disconnect.
I think that he...
Yeah, that's more what I'm scared about. That's more what I'm scared about in breaking up with him. Like, I feel like I agree with you guys in the sense of, like, I don't feel like I have, like, a timeline or I need to check something off or whatever. Like, I know I'll be okay, but, like, I just think it would be a mistake, and I, like, that's what's scary.
I think every time you break up, you question that, and you will miss him, and depending on how long you dated, which was a year, you know, you're going to miss him for a time being, and you might even think, like, let's get back together, but that doesn't mean that you should or shouldn't actually, in the long run, like, live together and live a life.
Right, true.
So you will miss him no matter what.
Also, keep in mind, if this was Prince Charming, you would know, okay?
That's true.
You would know. Bella, you're saying
so.
Like,
don't act like it's
things.
The end of the world. You know, I'm playing all different sides.
Yeah, you
of the
sure
pattern.
Are.
But I mean, she's got all true points, though.
It's true.
That's how complicated
it's
this is.
It's just kind of how I looked at it. It's like every one way street has four ways. Okay, and unfortunately or fortunately, the human emotions are just so complex that we'd be a little bit ignorant to think of it only as one way. Because you know, he's not even here. He's not even on the phone. Who knows? Who knows what he's
Bella
thinking?
Bella and Danny are going to fly to your hometown.
We're going to come. We're going to meet this gonna guy. Meet I'm going to kick his ass. No, I'm kidding. I don't endorse violence. Or do I? When it comes to kicking this guy's ass.
Hey, Sam, I'm really sorry. I don't know if you wanted to hear this, but I really hope everything...
Sam and I are sort of voting for at least a break.
Yeah, I'm voting for, I'm voting for
a break sounds nice.
Yeah, a break that eventually leads to a breakup.
Because I want him to value you. It's not to like, mm-hmm, that I want to like impose heartbreak on you. But
thank you guys for talking to me.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank
I'm telling you,
Sam.
You have
I'm
no.
I'm such a big fan.
Oh, I love you. And listen, I have to tell you that we are going to get, I think, so many people have gone through this exact same thing. And so
you're not alone.
You're calling also. Hopefully, reassures a lot of people that this is, a very, very familiar problem.
Yeah, and I hope so.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you. Please, keep us posted. I love you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
All right. We have one more call and then we can end the show.
Don't you think that's, but see,
I agree. And I think a break is a good idea because I do think he should appreciate her more. Like, mm-hmm, of course, but I also like, look, if you go through my phone, like there's hella guys, mm-hmm, that write me.
That's,
like,
but that's different though.
If you go through my boyfriend's phone, there is literally not like almost one. Cause
he's also like a guy's
sister.
Guy.
Yeah.
But some guys are guy girls. Guy. They have, like, a lot of girlfriends.
He's had relationships with these other girls. He's had relationships
also complicated
in the past with other girls.
Yeah,
that's true. Right.
It's,
that's
it's already been there.
He's slept with these girls in the past. So.
Hooked up is also like, it's a little hard. It's like, how serious do you both take that relationship?
All right, I think we're ready, guys. Okay, we're going to call Dylan. And Dylan, he is in Northern California, and he is 25. Hey, Dylan.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going. I'm sorry.
Hi, Dylan.
Dear listeners, I'm sorry about that. We're having problems with our Skype connection, so hopefully you can hear Dylan. Dylan, say hi to Anna.
Hi, is everything clear with my signal?
Yes, Dylan. Hi, it's Anna Ferris. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm here with Bella Thorne and her beautiful sister Danny, and Bella's beautiful as well. And Sim is very, very strapping today. Strapping.
Hi, Bella. How are you doing?
Well, kind of waiting to get a little talking to you.
All right. So, Dylan, tell us about your best friend's boyfriend.
So basically, what's going on is I'm having some trouble with one of my closest friend's boyfriends. Just to give you some background, this is a friend of mine who I've known her literally since middle school. We've been friends for like a decade. We've been through a ton of stuff together. She said she wants me to be her best man. So we're super tight. And then about a year and a half ago, she started dating this guy. And pretty quickly, they became like inseparable to the point that hanging out with her became like synonymous with hanging out with him. And she just invited him everywhere without telling me. And, I kind of just like brushed it off and I was like, you know what, this isn't a big deal. If he makes her happy and I get along with him just fine, this is like a pretty fair price to pay for getting to see her as often. But then fast forward a few months, later, it was actually the day of the inauguration and I found out that her boyfriend is pretty conservative. He voted for Trump. He is an avid gun collector. He has like Hillary for prison bumper stickers, all of the
Holy
ingredients.
Shit.
And they actually...
Wait, you forgot about the homophobia. You told me about the homophobia as well.
Yeah, no, I'm getting there. Sorry, I'll speed it up.
Sorry about that.
Basically, they were kind of keeping it from me because they knew I wouldn't react well because, I'm liberal and shocker alert, I'm gay. I did tell him that disappointed me because I felt like it was sort of almost a betrayal to vote for somebody who stands against basically my equality in that way. And he just said he didn't see it that way and we kind of just let it go for a while. But then over the next couple of months, my friend kept reporting back to me and telling me, that she would catch him calling his friends fags and hanging out with people who are really homophobic. And, she even at one point confronted him about it and said, You know, if you keep behaving like this, no gay person's ever going to be comfortable hanging out with you. And his response to that was, well, then maybe they just shouldn't come over. So, obviously, that puts me in a bit of a
Yeah, that feels
spot.
Like in direct reference to you, since you're her closest
friend. It also feels a little kind of fucked to your best friend, low-key, because you are her best friend. And she is dating this guy, which means... At the end of the day, like, sometimes you do talk about politics, and if she knows this upsets you so much, I'm kind of really surprised that it doesn't upset her with all that is happening in the world.
But
how does it not upset her?
But I wonder why she felt the need to relay all of this information.
That's a really good point.
You. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like if she
it's hurtful.
I just don't know what...
Her, and she's causing trouble. She's like asking for you to be upset.
Yeah, exactly. And she's missing you, it sounds like, you know, and that's a way of getting your attention. And I don't know if that's her saying, like, subconsciously, like, please tell me to break up with this guy.
Same, that's exactly what I was thinking.
But that's also, that's not a position to put you in. And that could also put you in the, like, even more in the middle of whatever is going on in her life. To me, this sounds like she's at a pretty complicated place in life. And I don't know if, her behavior confuses me a little bit. Like, why she needs to tell you.
Well, the thing is, I guess, you know, the obvious answer there is that he does, to his credit, treat her really well. And, you know, he's actually there for her. I know for a fact that she's had really shitty boyfriends in the past. So, I mean, maybe that's kind of overshadowing the fact that they differ so fundamentally.
Right. Did you say they're getting married?
They're not getting married. They are planning to move in together, though, this summer. And she's talked about getting married to him.
Oh, goodness.
Well, oh, boy. I mean...
She's putting aside how he treats other people because he treats her well. Yeah. And it's like, coming from bad relationships or any in that sense, I can definitely see how finally you get a good one. And you're like, oh, it's my holy light. He's there. And then you're like, oh, but he's also kind of a dick. Oh, what do I do now? But I still think it's really fucking weird that she just tells you all these things that she knows is going to hurt your feelings. It is like Anna said, almost like she's basically asking for you to be like, hello, this is offensive. What do you see in him? Like, besides him treating you well, like, how do you think he treats other people? Like,
so Dylan, so you really love her and you miss her. Do you see, you know how sometimes with friendships that you've had for a really long time, there's sort of a natural progression of distance and growth? Because I think there's a couple ways you could go. One, I think, is if you really value and enjoy her current, like, presence, not in terms of nostalgia, but like your current, like, if you love hanging out with her, you love seeing her, you guys make each other laugh, whatever. Truly, like, there is a distinction between, like, the nostalgia friendship and the in current friendship. And so I think you either can be a great listener, you know, and hear, like, and of course she knows that, that your politics, you know, don't line up with his politics. You know, of course she knows that there's a big gulf between you two. And I think you either choose to just sort of be a great friend, which means being fucking incredibly generous, which kind of fucking sucks sometimes, and just sort of waiting it out. Because I don't think you can convince, in my experience, you can't convince a friend to break up with another person.
No, and never works. It just fucks up your relationship.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think you are, like, you have to weigh what the value of the relationship is in your place that you are at right now, I think. And then move forward. I think it would be incredibly kind of you, because it sounds like he might be kind of an angry
angry young man.
I was about to say, it sounds like he's putting a lot of pressure on her. Like, it sounds like he's such an aggressive person that if she dare disagree with him, I feel like when they talk about this kind of stuff and she's like, but it's my best friend, he's so overpowering to her that she is just like, it almost feels like that's why she calls you on the phone.
Yeah, right.
It's because she knows it's so fucked up. She just wants you to be like, oh my god, why are you with him? Like, fucking break up with him. Like, no.
Yeah, Dylan, do you think that, do you get the sense that she's a pretty, that she's a lonelier person? Does she need you more than you need her?
Yeah, I mean, that's the strange thing. She has a good amount of friends, and she's probably the most self-possessed person I know.
Oh.
To the point where I just can't even make sense of why she would settle for somebody who is so drastically different from her on this level. Because she's an incredibly confident person, and she's very, very firm in her beliefs, in her politics, and in her social beliefs, and she's very outspoken too.
This is interesting. Well, I guess I feel like then by her telling you all this stuff that she needs your attention, that she misses you, and I you know, oh god, I sort of feel like being sort of patient with her, because I don't know how you argue to like break up with somebody.
Yeah, you don't want to lose her
unless there's like abusiveness, yeah.
It's gonna play itself out.
Yeah.
And that's my thing. Like I very much agree with you. Like I totally don't think that it's ever a good idea to try and like tell somebody they shouldn't be with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I think it can only affect like the friendship more so than it would affect the relationship. Yep.
And Dylan,
but what I do wonder is like, is there room for me to say something about the way that I feel he's affecting our friendship?
Yes, you have to be honest.
Yes, and you know what? You have the fucking right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you are not silenced. That's not right. What he's saying isn't right. And I swear to God, if you were in the same room as him and you don't speak up to him, I would be sad for you. And speaking from, I'm bisexual, so not that I have had it like at all as you have in this situation, but no, we did not work this fucking hard for this dumb truck to just shut us up and talk down like you're not a human being, as we all are. That is
that you're
not fair.
Yeah.
You are allowed to stick up for yourself. And you know what? If she is like, whoa, fuck you because of it, I'm sorry. You got to rethink that relationship top to bottom, because she should stand by your side. She should know that what you're saying is right. You have the right.
But you know what? Also, Dylan, though, too, there is a world where, and this is me being 41, and a mom. I think that maybe also if your encounters with him, like face to face, have been awkward and maybe sometimes like an undercurrent of tension, but most of the stuff that you're hearing about his beliefs is from your friend, I think that exposure and communication and like, you know, and love and open-mindedness, like you could be a gift to this person.
It's true.
In a fucked up, sorry,
it's,
I know,
it's just that hard
was such
to
like the kindergarten
it's,
teacher
it, but it, it's right, but it also I
listen
totally understand
to a story that
you're so right, but oh
love.
God,
it's so
I don't,
annoying.
I don't want to be like the educator for this
no
guy.
First step is
no
with
and
her.
That listen, I'm not saying that is your job at all, but yeah, I think it's important for you to weigh the importance of this friendship too, you know, and what her whatever her journey is
and what you mean to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Danny's right. The first step is definitely telling
I was right.
her. You gotta let her know your feelings, to be honest, because then if something comes out and something is said and you get heated and you say something you didn't want to say and she had no idea you even felt like that, then it's really not a good situation, because then it kind of makes her not rightfully, wrongfully want to pick her boyfriend's side, because she feels like he's been telling me everything, but you've been keeping your feelings from me. So I feel like, you should definitely kind of let her know, talk about it, you know, and also see where her head is at. Okay, girl, what are you thinking?
Yeah, but instead of like outright judging her for what she's dating, it's more about how this is affecting you.
Sister fight. Yeah.
But you know, because like when you go at a person about like who you're dating, it's like then she feels defensive. But if you're just talking about how the things that she said makes you feel.
If you ask someone if they're happy, they're going to, by default, say, I'm happy.
Yeah, I'm good.
Mm-hmm. I'm fine. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm good.
But you know what I mean? Like, I think that it's, at least it's something that it's, it makes Dylan not open the conversation with it all. Sorry, mm-hmm. Dylan, I don't mean to talk about you like you're not here.
No.
You are right here in Hollywood, California. On Sim's phone, but you know, like I think
you don't want to make her feel like you're attacking
exactly
him or her.
Like it's good to open up the conversation with like do you see yourself with, you know, I'm like are you really happy? It seems like you are. I don't know. I'm terrible at this shit. Oh, fuck.
But keep in mind, you don't want it to feel like a
like you're fishing.
Or like you're interrogating her, because then she's going to immediately feel like, whoa, I kind of feel defensive.
Yeah, why? You're not on my side.
Yeah, like Danny and I have had talks about boys all the time because, you know, I might date somebody that Danny doesn't like or the other way around, vice versa. And then it's like those talks,
but
they're not fun.
No.
It sounds like she really... Dylan, but it sounds like she just really misses you, truthfully. Like, because I don't know why... She's instigating sort of all of this stuff with you. Maybe you can have some one-on-one time with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you can paraphrase it as girl time. Like, you know, your guy friend. Just like no to him.
Yeah,
don't
true.
Bring him. Yeah, Danny kind of like low-key when she wants to see me or we're in town. Like, we definitely like paraphrase it in each other. Like, that we both know that we want to just spend time with just us. Because so many of the time there's so many people around and there's so-and-so boyfriend and so-and-so came over. And it's like that one-on-one quality time just becomes like... any other time, you know, and this is not a talk to be having in a group discussion, especially because everyone's going to agree with you and then she's going to feel like everyone's really attacking her.
But I do also definitely think that there's like back to another issue, which maybe I don't know, maybe we can talk about later too in different podcasts, because is the nostalgia friendship, you know, versus sort of the current friendship. And sometimes people,
it's just a blurred line for sure. They
really good point. I know. You just grow apart. I've had so many friend breakups.
Yeah.
I do totally know what you mean about that. Like, I've seen from like an outside perspective, tons and tons of those nostalgia friendships, and I'm like, ooh, that's not gonna last. But this is like the rare situation
this
where I actually
friend.
Like the person that she is now much more than the person that I knew. Like, I've gotten much closer to her in recent years than I was, say, like 10 years ago.
That's awesome. That's really nice.
That's really strong.
Yeah, that's
worth the talk for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely worth a work
let
through.
Let us know.
Yeah, please let us know. Give us an update after you talk to her.
Yeah.
I will. I'll talk to her and I'll get her alone and let her know how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, open it up. I think with that, you miss her.
Mm-hmm. Yes. 100%. You got to be real sugarcoat this low key. Cause we all are angered up inside about this. Cause it's a fucked situation. You have the right, but
I think
also
Bella might fucking hit me.
I'm really stroking this chair. I'm here. You know, but these kind of things, like, they do get me really like, oh man, they get me fucking angry. They get me really
that's
angry.
What's crazy about two opposites like that dating is because, like, not to say that nobody should have opinion, but when you hear kind of someone like that with that strong of opinion against yours and you're just like, I can't even imagine thinking that way, you know, it's like, how could you actually get along? I don't know. That's hard.
It's so baffling.
Will you keep us posted? Because you're not alone. You know, this has been, you know, a crazy time.
Yeah.
A lot of like, you know, a lot of anger, and it's unfortunate, but let's all fucking love each other. Right, you ding dong, Sim?
I agree. Absolutely. Dylan, thank you so much.
Thank you. I love you. Thank you so much.
Love you. And honestly, thank you so much for having me. I'm like so just glad that I got to be on the receiving end of your amazing advice.
Oh, that's so sweet. You're amazing. Thank you, Dylan.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. Bye. Good night, dear listeners. Are we going to wrap it up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Bella, would you like to sing a song? Oh, look at your dog.
Tampy.
We are the moms of Oakwood. We'll work on that a little bit.
I do that with my son all the time.
We do drugs with our kids.
Good night, everyone.
It was like, I'm cutting that out.